যে আনিলো প্রেমাদান কারণ কাছো,
has a great ocean of wisdom. Not only knowledge, but wisdom. And I was hoping that he would speak some words today about different aspects of initiation that he thought were important for our understanding. So without further ado, depending on whether you feel they're getting bored, you can
they all fall asleep.
If they start falling asleep, then...
Is it, I'm just speaking straight? So it's,
no, it's, they do simultaneous. Simultaneous triplet.
So in initiation, then there's a few things we should understand. There's the different elements of the initiation. There's the purposes of the initiation. And then there's basically the essence of the initiation. So in here, the tradition, then there's five different parts of the initiation. So it's called Pancha Samskar, or the Samskar with, you know, five different limbs.
Question on study. Huh? Where? You don't want to come in? Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, go ahead.
So these five then are, it's called Mudra, Pundra, Nama, Mantra, and Yaga. So the ritual of them then is the wearing of the neck beads, accepting of neck beads, then tilak of a name that is in connection with Krishna, that shows that we are servant of Krishna, receiving mantra for worship of the deity, and then yaga is worship of the deity himself. So this is the ritual that we see, and by this then we can understand someone has been initiated. And we ourselves then feel that, yes, something has happened. But there is also a deeper meaning to this, is that the reason for the neck beads, why we wear the neck beads, this is to signify that we understand that the material world is a place of suffering, a place of misery, that it is not some place to enjoy. This is an essential part of the philosophy, because the living entity identifies themselves as the enjoyer and controller. And we think that this material world will give us happiness, and it will last forever. It will be eternal, and we'll be happy here. So then the Bhagavatam explains that the material world is dukkalayam ashashvatam, that it is temporary and full of misery. So this understanding of this is then signified by the wearing of neck beads. So this is called mudra, or some, it is also known as tapa. We generally use the word mudra. But tapa also means fire. The material world is like a fire. Samsara, dava, and all of it. So it's a
where
fire.
The connection between tapa and mudra?
I think it's that mudra is the form of it that it takes, that you, how you say, wear it on the body. And tapa is what it signifies, or the method of using. So then, this means that material world is a place, it's like fire, suffering. So then, for some of the sampradayas, then they also apply it through tapa, through fire, is they have shankha and chakra, and they put those into the initiation fire, and then those are branded onto the shoulders.
Permanent branding.
Yeah, permanent branding. So it's
So we do that?
We could.
Charlie, you want to do that? You can have some bread. Your husband would be very impressed by it. Come home with a few tilas. Your husband's mother.
Oh,
thank you. He doesn't like that.
But it's said that the those who wear that, then they'll go to Vaikuntha. And if you want to go to Goloka, then you don't.
Well,
they don't accept.
No.
Then we have no. You're there.
So for us, the Nekti, because in their puja, they'll only wear tulsi when they're sitting and doing the puja, and completely pure, and then they'll take it off. They won't wear it. So they complain, why do we wear? But that's because this is our mudra. This is our tapa. Because they are wearing shankha chakra in the bathroom and sleeping and this and that.
Yeah.
So it's the same.
What did I say about that?
That no one's mentioned it to them.
Where's your movie camera? No, that's all right. No, that way it's your phone.
So then the next item is, since we've given up the material world, there must be activity. We're not impersonal. We give up the material world and then we sit in the Brahman. But we must do something. So then the next item, Pundra, is where we accept the Urdhvagati, or the upward path. So this upward path, and that is the path going back to Krishna. So that is signified by Urdhva Pundra, or the Tilak.
Tilak, they all have one.
Yes. So that's why ours is up. That means you're going out of the material.
What happens when it's this way?
That means you stay in the material. So these two then signify someone who's seriously on the path to go back to God.
What else?
Then the third one is nama, or receiving a name that signifies that we are servant of Krishna. This is the most important element. We've given up the idea that we're the enjoyer and controller, but we're not. We have to do something, so we are servant. So we accept a name in connection with Krishna or his devotees.
And then? But what if there does anything else come?
With that?
No. What about the chanting piece?
Depends upon the ritual, the individual.
So we should give a name. What else do you want to say?
Then we would also speak on mantra. That means that receiving Gayatri mantra.
No, there's nobody going to.
Yeah. So that is the mantra by which we can then worship the deity. The Hare Krishna mantra then takes us back to Godhead. And the Gayatri mantras that we receive then give us a specific focus on worship of Krishna. And yaga means worship of the deity. So this yaga then has two aspects. One is that we participate in the temple programs, we see the artiks, we are in the kirtans, we take part like this, and we get the same benefit as the person who actually does the artik. That's the interesting thing. So if you go to Mangal Arati and see the Mangal Arati, you get the same benefit as the pujari who offers the Mangal Arati. So therefore, the same facility is there for everyone, though someone it may be their specific duty to do the technical worship, and others to observe and take part in the festivals. So then the main deity in the temple, that is our main deity. And if we have deities at our home, those are considered expansions of those deities. So then whatever is the deities in our place, and that becomes by the order of Guru, then we are able to worship those deities. Then a central point of initiation is instruction. The ritual is not the essential point. So we see in this ritual, we're seeing that we're learning to be servants of Krishna and serving Krishna. So to do that, then that means we have to enter into the Lord's realm through the blessings of Guru. Because Krishna recognizes us when we are connected to somebody. Krishna doesn't recognize us if we approach him directly. There's already persons there. And all the main associates of the Lord are there. And so Krishna expects to see us serving them. And this expands his happiness. Just like when the mother has a child, and that child has a child. It's called a grandchild. And the grandchild gives more pleasure than the child. And then a great-grandchild even more than that.
This is a very good argument against the birth.
The mother is not thinking, when my daughter has a child, that will be my child. No, that doesn't give any pleasure.
And the best argument is that, they say that someone says, I want to be Prabhupada's disciple so I can get mercy, but to get more mercy is a grand disciple.
A great grand disciple, more. So the farther back it is, the greater the mercy.
I don't think that'll convince. But it is a good argument.
So one has to approach the spiritual master, and that approach, the most important aspect of one, or what one gains from the spiritual master, is not the ritual, but is the instruction. So one has to make sure that the relationship with the spiritual master is based on instruction. The reason you're approaching the spiritual master, you like his instruction, you like the way he is able to enlighten you on that, or impress you with that instruction, and you can take it and follow it. That is the real thing. It's not that, we like the way he, wears his clothes, or, the way he does something. his glasses. His watch. But it is the instruction that is the working principle. Because the instruction, that is always with you. So if the relationship's based on that, then when the spiritual master gives instructions, you will be inspired. Otherwise, we see many times it's very sentimental. Someone takes initiations, and then after initiation, then instructions are serious. So then when the instruction gets serious, then it's, we're not interested in this. Guru-Mahārāja has changed. It's so different. Right, he changed his watch, so everything. So, in other words, we have to go beyond, the sentiment is good, but the sentiment must be mixed with actual intelligence, that we want to know, we want to actually follow, and we want to get results of going back to Godhead by pleasing the spiritual master. So following the instruction is the most essential element of this process. So this means that we accept the instruction of the spiritual masters, our life and soul, and the spiritual master accepts responsibility to give you valid instructions that will help you go back to God.
I know that Italians are big politicians. They never give straight answers. That's why they're so good for Braj Bhakti. They're very perfect. Okay, so that means that instruction is very important. And it doesn't. What did you say about it? The spiritual master may change, and then what did they say?
No, it means that the one may be in the form. It means they make these.
No, you said that spiritual, there's something about the spiritual master.
Change watch.
No, it means, he changes his watch, and then you liked him because he wore a watch that you liked, and he changes the watch, or he changes his bead bag, or the color of his cloth, and then that's it. Your relationship is broken. It should be based on this solid thing is the instructions, because you can always have that. The Vapu, sometimes you get close association, sometimes not. But instruction is always with you, whether you're close or not.
Personal instruction or general instruction?
Both. Both are just as good.
What if you don't get personal instruction?
If it's come from the spiritual master, it is meant for his disciples. So he has affection for all of them. So something that's good for one, in principle, it's good for the other. Though detail may be different. So even if we don't receive direct instruction, it's a general instruction, through his disciples, then the benefits.
What about the fact that there's no fire sacrifice being performed?
Well, if you notice, when we mentioned the five aspects of initiation, it didn't include the fire sacrifice. So the fire sacrifice is to create an atmosphere in which we've... It's another aspect, it's called samskar. Samskar means to purify or to create impression. So we can have good samskars or we can have bad samskars. So good samskar means that they are purifying, they are connected to the Lord, they are, you know, progressive for our devotion. So then along with these five, then it is given, you know, you may create the atmosphere. Expand that samskar by having a yajna and, you know, so many different formalities.
We have, today is such an auspicious day.
Well, it's just, it can be created in so many ways. Like in a Puranic initiation, there is no fire sacrifice. But like in Vedic, then you would, yeah. So the Vedic is the most obvious. So generally, if there's a fire sacrifice and everybody knows,
because
then you know something happened.
Yeah, well, I remember once three people took sannyas. Prabhupada said, make a fire sacrifice, a big ceremony, so they know something has happened.
Because otherwise,
it was particularly for one of the persons. Mm-hmm. It wasn't for the three. It was one of them. Prabhupada knew he needed that.
Because it's means it satisfies the mind. Some scar satisfies the mind.
But maybe they want some fire sacrifice. Are they satisfied that the atmosphere is supportive?
We're going to make a bonfire this evening.
We can light a candle. Yeah.
Or they can, if there's any initiations at any other time where there's a sacrifice, they can always sit in.
You're using a lot of film up there.
So we're becoming, becoming recognized by Krishna as a serious servant of his by becoming the servant of his servant. So becoming the servant is the essential principle.
Okay, what do you want me to talk about?
You have said so many theoretical, intellectual things, not even the real purport.
Well, I think the most important thing in this day is that we're accepting, that initiates are accepting the shelter of Guru. And when Prabhupada was asked, do you know Krishna? He said, no, I don't know Krishna, I only know my Guru. So it's very important to establish a deep relationship with the spiritual master. Sometimes we hear people say that that's not so important, or that this kind of gives too much importance to relationship with the Guru. But if the Guru is truly Krishna conscious, then the Guru will give importance to Krishna. And because a disciple has great faith in the Guru, deep love Guru, then automatically that will come to Krishna, both in terms of focus on Krishna and in terms of both, in other words, both direct as well as indirect through the Guru. sometimes Prabhupada was asked, if there was, what if one is serving Guru or remembers Guru at the time of death? And Prabhupada said, it's not different than remembering Krishna. It's as good. So we don't have this focus on Guru out of nowhere, but we learned it from Prabhupada. And because people have so much dedication to serving Guru during Prabhupada's time, while the Krishna consciousness movement expanded as fast as it did,
became less.
It becomes dissipated.